Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is now the beginning of the last week in March, and Monday will do you no harm at all. Bright and dry and sunny across the land. It's going to be a mostly dry week as well for much of the country, so no complaints there at all. Tap out your thoughts to us on the WhatsApp in the usual way. That's 087 032 32 32, and we always welcome more considered thoughts on the email as well, which is oliver@rte.ie. Taras Jock, the house is nice and warm, and we'll get underway. Now, we have a very nice show for you this morning, of course, a very special treat for you, because professional musician Malachy Robinson is joining us with a double bass. If you don't know what a double bass is, it's the big doop-doop-doop kind of instrument. A giant fiddle is to put it to your imagination. And we'll hear all the different sounds it can make, because there are many and different genres of music it enters in and out of. And he'll play some excerpts of some famous piece of music as well. And we're continuing a kind of Masters of Music series, because we'd Nailey Mulligan in here with his Illan pipes not so long ago. So we thought we'd go somewhere else next to another beautiful instrument. And it is a stunning, it's a 6 foot sized instrument here beside me, and I'm looking forward to that conversation this morning. So that's where we're going today on a Monday, to soothe you into the week after a weekend where there was a whirlwind of GAA. Kerry and Mayo once again facing off in the Football League, which will happen next Sunday, and then you're straight into Championship. It's interesting because Mayo celebrate winning league finals kind of manically, so watch out for that one. It'll be the first bit of crack really of the season, although mind you, Division 1 was good fun this season. And Monaghan and Roscommon will be playing in the Division 2 final, two counties. We should really get along, the Rossies and the Farney people, because we were of the often forgotten counties of the country, looked at in similar ways in our respective provinces, I think. We're also, the Rossies beat us already, so it'll be a well-matched finale, and both promoted a year after being demoted. So good news there for the Monaghan and Rossie fans. Tyrone go down as well to Division 2, despite beating Dublin, to the sympathy of very few, according to the internet, but we're far too sporting in Winnicon to take any satisfaction whatsoever. But the big question is, did Donegal throw the chance into a league final there? Because they are playing Derry a week later, and Derry, who lost heavily to Armagh yesterday. But who would risk a punt in the Ulster Championship by going into a league final, I suppose? The only provincial competition left. Nobody, according to Jim McGuinness, basically seems to be the answer. And looking at the Irish Times this morning, Division 1, yeah, was so manic, really, that you had Derry and Tyrone went through the trapdoor to Division 2 for next season. Tyrone finished on the league with 7 points. Mayo topped the table with 9 points. So you had nearly everybody else on 8 points. And hardly a string of dental floss separating the teams, says Gordon Manning in today's Irish Times. And that goes in. That goes into next week. Division 3, Kildare Offaly promoted, and Antrim Leitrim go down into Division 4. And of course, so much other sport going on. There was the Ireland-Bulgaria match, which we won 2-1. And if you can understand the permutations of the UEFA Nations League, do get in touch. No one has a clue. But the most important thing for us to know is that Portugal beat Denmark last night in their end of things, and they will be part of our World Cup qualifying Group F. So we'll have Armenia, Hungary and Portugal. And all that business is done between September and November. And then it goes into a second phase where there's like semi-finals and finals, depending on where you land. If you finish second in the group, obviously Portugal's going to win that qualifying group, let's face it. And so the only chance, it goes on till next March, basically. And I'm trying to work out this morning where the route is to get to the World Cup in 2026. Haven't a clue. But it's going to be a cool World Cup, because it's in the US, Mexico and Canada. And 45 teams will make it through. So if Ireland isn't one of those 45, we'd be in a bad place indeed. I mentioned the women's rugby, which of course started at the weekend as well. I mentioned that on Friday, and it was a sad start. Ireland ruining the missed opportunities in the opening defeat to France. So that puts us second from the bottom, next to Italy, but it's only one match in, and we started poorly last year and came good in the end. So visitors kick all their goals, and the home side failed to convert any of their 3 tries. Ireland 15, France 27. England will be red hot favourites to win that, but sure, we'll keep an eye on things. By the way, on the telly tonight, there's an interesting programme for GAA and rugby fans. It's called Punt, the Irish and the NFL, and it's a documentary. It's an hour long, and it followed Rory Began of Monaghan, other GAA stars, Charlie Smith, Mark Jackson, and former Connacht rugby player Darragh Leader as they went retraining and tried to get into the NFL last year. We know how it ended. Well, many of us do. But tonight, anyway, after the 9 o'clock news on RT1, you'll see how that pathway and that effort went, because it would have been life-changing had they got in to the NFL, says you. By the way, on that Bulgaria-Ireland match, Adam Ida, who scored a goal, the second goal in the win, you might have noticed he put his finger to his lips to silence online critics, and that is the online stuff. He says, "I'm just telling people to shut up, really, just about me not doing well recently and why I've not been playing, why I should be on the bench. And when I saw a couple of bits, the celebration followed that." So it's his frustration, and it is to do with racism and toxic carry-on online, which is very much in the news because people are watching that Adolescence show on Netflix and so on. And also, it's all about the online. It's all about that online material, of course. And it's an interesting story because this morning I noticed that the British ministers have decided they're going to scrap the £800 million a year tax on American tech companies. And that's a sop to Donald Trump to avoid his tariffs, because the tech companies have a lot of influence on social media. The social media companies having a lot of influence on Donald Trump at the moment. So the US called that digital services tax an example of unfair trade practices. What is it? It's a 2% charge on the revenues of search engines and social media services online, which raises nearly $1 billion a year for the Brits. And it's the sort of place that are under the spotlight due to that adolescent series on Netflix, which is traumatising parents of teenagers particularly, and is ringing alarm bells for those who might have been ignoring the alarm bells for the last decade, unfortunately. If you were at the cinema at the weekend with the kids, it might have been Snow White. There was no fairy tale opening for them. Snow White, the live action remake of Disney's classic 1937 film Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, it hit every cultural landmine and political disaster on its way to launch the weekend. It took in less than expected, $43 million in the US over its opening weekend. $58 million would have been the worst performance of those live action Disney remakes. So 43 is pretty bad indeed. It cost nearly $300 million to make. The revamp is just a complete disaster, really. It stars the West Side Story actress, which is a remake, Rachel Zegler. She plays Snow White, and Wonder Woman Gal Gadot is the stepmother, the vengeful or evil stepmother, I suppose, once upon a call. We're probably not allowed to say that anymore. And she was criticised, Zegler, for being cast because she's Colombian, of Colombian descent. She's American, but of Colombian descent, when the person's, well, the clue's in the name, Snow White. So there was attacks on her. And then there was another backlash when she started posting pro-Palestinian comments and also pro-Israel comments by the Israeli actress Gal Gadot. On both sides, were everybody was unhappy with the film, basically. And there was the debate about whether there should have been dwarfs in the film at all, whether live or computer-generated imagery. Multiple controversies seem to have dulled the draw of the movie, and also on Rotten Tomatoes it's got a critic score of 44%. So that's what's going on. People said it was the most... The nicest thing anyone said, really, was it was mostly captivating along the film, but it hasn't moved. The criticism really had an impact over there. The Minecraft movie is the next one that they're expecting out in a fortnight, the next big thing, because original ideas are not in vogue anymore, it seems, in Hollywood. Sad face. Speaking of the arts, some good news for friend of the show, Carmel Harrington, was in with us recently with The Stolen Child. Remember that conversation? And although the book charts in Ireland are still full of the World Book Day, because World Book Day there was 2 or 3 weeks ago, and they sell books, select books for £150, you'll understand. But it's good to see Irish authors of kids' books, Paddy Donnelly doing well there, Fox and Son Trailers among them. But Carmel Harrington has done the best thing in kind of the fiction sales for the last 2 weeks. They operate a week behind, and Colin McCann's Twist is also in that chart as well. But delighted for Carmel. She's a lovely woman. She was talking about sleepwalking. Remember the sleepwalking story? And she said the fiction on a cruise liner in the 80s, and missing person, someone showing up sort of thing was the crux, and has done the business. So well done, Carmel. And we'll be meeting some up and coming authors this week as well, because all of the exciting names in fiction across these islands, Ireland and Britain, are Irish. They're Irish voices, and particularly female ones more so this year. Now, they're the new voices, but the old voices who've had their time in the sun are announcing they're going to step down. This is the oldest pop band in history, The Searchers. They've decided to call it a day after 68 years. You'd wonder, would they just not keep going to the 70s, the year. It's amazing they're still going. They rose to fame even pre-Beatles in the 1960s was their heyday, but they formed in 1957, so that's 3 years before the Fab Four, and they began as a skiffle group, which is kind of part of that semi-jazz rock and roll that came out of America. It would have had its origins in African-American music. And they sold millions of records, such as their hit song, Sweets for My Sweet. There's a little...
Sweets for my sweet, yeah. Sugar for my honey, your first sweet kiss thrills me so.
That was their thing. That was a huge hit. So they announced at the weekend that they're going to retire after their first and only show at Glastonbury, which is in Somerset in England in June. Speaking to The Guardian, the guitarist has to be Irish. John McNally is his name. He's 83 years of age. The bassist and singer Frank Allen, 81, said they decided to retire. Why? Well, because of their age, but mostly because they were sick of driving up and down motorways in Britain in heavy traffic. Allen, who joined the band in 1964, says age slows you down a bit. Fair enough. We did between 180 and 200 shows a year. But driving up and down the motorway is the hard part because the traffic is heavier than it was. There was never a problem recovering from the show because that's the thing that brings them to life in their 80s. We're always fit to do a show. It's the driving up and down motorways that drives them mad. And McNally, this is John McNally, 83. He formed the band, by the way, when he was 16 years of age. So tell your teenagers that. They can still be going and doing the same thing they love 70 years later. Said the traffic is the reason he went. We've been doing this for six decades. It's about time to have a rest. They had a five-year break for a little bit, but they never really split or went off to do solo work and so on. Asked about the secret to their longevity, McNally says, it was just being part of one of the most important periods in pop history. If you made it during that period, people were never going to forget you. I think that's extraordinary. Watching the Bob Dylan film, A Complete Unknown, recently, I was wondering, was the world kind of small and was everything kind of new and revolutionary in that period, 60s, 70s? And could that exist anymore? You know, you have the Sam Fenders and Zach Bryan and country music. But I just wonder, is everyone so fragmented and off into different tunnels and rabbit holes that we don't have a kind of a homogenous audience that goes, wow, this is the person who captivates everything we think about today? It feels like almost the great things were done in the past. It's a negative way of looking at it because human history keeps moving on and on. But it's fascinating. Anyway, the Searchers, who were asked, he said, no one asked them to do Glastonbury until now. They asked him to do it. He said, we're going to perform at the greatest music festival of them all. What a way to round off a tour and a career. And that's the festival headline by Neil Young, Olivia Rodrigo, and the 1975, which itself tells you the story of music nowadays as well. OK, well, we're going to go into a music place this morning. So that's a nice way to go into it. But first, we're going to take a break before we meet our double bass. Can't wait. See what the double bass is like.
Text 51551. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.